I'm going to talk to you on the idea, I refuse to die like this. Not that I refuse to die, but I am going to have some control over my being. You're not going to, 2 Kings chapter number 7, the first 8 verses. Elisha said, "Hear ye the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord." When they were in a predicament. They were in a crisis. And the first thing that you need in a crisis is a word from the Lord. Amen? Whether it comes by a prophet, by a television preacher, by a magazine that you read, you need something to click inside that says God has got it under control. So he spoke, "Tomorrow about this time shall a measure of fine flour be sold for a shekel, 2 measures of barley for a shekel in the gate of Samaria." That is literally an impossibility. If you read chapter 6, that is, there's no way. I mean, they're cannibalism. They're eating dog manure, dung, animal manure. They're killing their babies. And the man of God stands and says, "Not next month, not." I'm scratching my head thinking about it. He said, "Here's what I'm going to tell you. Tomorrow, about this time, it's going to be different." Somehow I'm coming by here to tell somebody, something's getting ready to take place. Something is getting ready to take place. There's somebody's tomorrow in the making right now. Tomorrow about this time, God will visit you. Isn't that what God said to Sarah, to Mary? Hallelujah to God. "And 2 measures of barley for a shekel in the gate of Samaria." No way. "Then a Lord on whose hand the king leaned answered the man of God and said, 'Well, if the Lord would make windows in heaven, might this thing be?' And he said, 'Behold,'" Elisha did not mess around. He rebutted. He said, "Now, here's the deal. Behold, you will see it with your eyes, but you won't eat." Oh, my Lord. If he'd have just kept his mouth shut. Hello, church. Don't undermine what the man of God says. Don't undermine what the scripture says. If the scripture says by his stripes you are healed, don't undermine it. Hold on to it. It's not you that said it. It's not the church that said it. It's God. "And there were 4 leprous men at the entering in of the gate." And we're going to find out these are really a key to that problem. "They said one to another, 'Why sit we here until we die? We may die, but we're not going to die sitting in this place.'" Hello? Oh, my God. "If we say we will enter into the city, then the famine is in there between the bark and the tree. On one side is the city of Samaria. Down the street is the army of Syria. And in between are 4 leprous men." Hello? Oh, God. "Then the famine," I'm verse 4, "is in the city, and we shall die there." They already got their obituary if they stay still. They're saying, "Here's the deal. We're not going to just sit here and watch the clock tick. Now, therefore, come and let us fall into the host of the Syrians. If they save us alive, we shall live, and if they kill us, we shall but die." Amen? But one thing about it, we're not going to die sitting out of this camp. I'm not going to die distanced from God Almighty. I'm not going to die separated and isolated from my help. I may die with whatever fever they got. Whatever plague comes by, whatever situation comes by, but I will not be separated from my help. My help cometh from the Lord. If I'm in the camp, I'll die in his presence. If I'm out of the camp, I'll die. If live or die, I'm his. Am I talking to anybody? They rose up. See, they evaluated their situation. Somebody among that four was the spokesperson that took the leadership. And they evaluated the situation, and they rose up at twilight. Now, what does twilight signify in a day? A change. Twilight is a testimony that what you've been doing is getting ready to close down. The daylight that you've been operating in is getting ready to stop. And the night season is coming on. There's always a twilight in our crises. Oh, come on, church. I said there's always a crisis, a twilight in our crises. There's always a moment when the past it fades away and the future looks brighter. I wished I thought I was talking to somebody. And where did they go? Oh, Lord, help me. There's preaching material here. To go unto the camp of the Syrians, it is an indictment against the church of God or the church of God's church. It is an indictment when desperate people turn to the world because they know they can't turn to the church. Oh God. And they come to the uttermost part of the camp of Syria, and behold, there was no man there. Listen. For the Lord had made. When they rose up, God rose up. You want to shout on that? Don't sit around picking your nose and saying, God, I need help. Rise up. And when God sees activity on your part, I know we can't work it up and we can't do all this, but we can demonstrate faith in God. And when we rise, it's amazing. When we rise up, God will rise up. God is just waiting for his church to get up. Am I talking to you? He's just waiting for us to get off our duffer and say, we're going to do something. We may die, we may be whipped, we may lose water, but we're not going to die stationary. We're not going to die separated, isolated. All right, the Lord had made the host of Syrians, to hear a noise of church. I can hear God walking. Hello? Just walking. And those Syrians said, my Lord, they've hired. Well, let's go. And the noise of horses, even the noise of a great host. And they, the Syrians, said one to another, whoa, the king of Israel hath hired against us the kings of the Hittites, the kings of the Egyptians, to come upon us. See, fear, oh God, help me. Wherefore they arose, the army, the Syrian army arose. While ago, four leprous men arose. God arose, and now the army rises. Whole lot of going on, isn't it? Am I talking to anybody? Hallelujah. They arose and fled in the twilight. They didn't hang around. When God gets after the enemy, he will run. And they left their tents and their horses and their asses, even the camp as it was, and fled for their life. They're not even looking behind them. Here's the deal. They're running so fast, they're pulling their coat off. They're throwing their valuables down. That's right. They're throwing their backpacks down. They had their good. And here comes four leprous men. Oh, Lord, help me. And when these lepers came to the uttermost part of the camp, they went into one tent. They did eat in the enemy's camp. Sit right down, pick their teeth, and enjoy their meal in the enemy's camp. He said he would spread a table before us in the presence of our enemies. They did eat and drink And they carried the silver and gold and raiment and went and hid it. It was there all the time. It was there all the time. It didn't just appear out of nowhere, but there was a barrier. But when those leprous men rose up and God rose up and God began to march, the enemy began to run, then what was in that camp become the leprous men's. They entered into another tent and carried thence also and went and hid it. And verse number 9, we don't have it on the board, but they got the feeling guilty. We've got all this bound in, we've got all this good stuff, and we're hiding it. It's not good. See, the best thing that happened in these last 4 or 5 weeks has been the people that have received from God has been willing to tell somebody about it. I see Alex here tonight. Hold your hand up, Alex. It's a wonderful sight to see a young man sitting on the pew. I see these young people over here and the old people over here. A mixture. But it's a wonderful thing to see people in the house of God. I want to talk to you from those, I've already talked to you whether you picked up on it or not. I refuse to die like this. Get me wrong. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying I refuse to die. It's going to happen. But I am not going to be a whipped dog. Hey! Shatarabakaya. Hataro Mohusha. You have some control over your destiny. The enemy of our soul, the enemy of humanity, whether you're a believer or not, works to dismantle your nerves, works to riddle you apart, and mock you, and laugh at you, and afflict that human frail body that we were born with. And he wins in so many times, in so many cases, but let's be on guard. Father, would you touch our minds tonight and our hearts tonight with the power of the Holy Ghost? Oh, God, to the Hasabako, in the name of Jesus, amen. There was a severe famine in Israel. Chapter 6 demonstrates that. It was so bad that one mother said to another one, let's eat your child today and we'll eat my child tomorrow. And they wasn't joking. They were dead serious. It was so scarce that they were dying. No food, no promise of food, nothing. The Syrian army had come to Samaria and besieged it. They didn't have to fire a shot. They didn't have to send scouts out. They knew that there was nobody coming in or out of Samaria. They had it sealed in. The water supply was gone. The food supply was gone, and there was destitution in Samaria. Samaria was identified with the people of God. So many great things had taken place in Samaria, but now they're isolated. The king walks by in chapter 6, and a lady calls out to him, and he said, God, do so to me, and also if I don't have Elisha's head by this. But in the walls of Samaria, where the destitution was, God began to move. Amen. Elisha rose up and said, well, here's the deal. The word of God come to me and said, tomorrow about this time, there's going to be more food than you can eat. Boy, that has God ever proved himself to be the abundant God? I'm talking about where he just opened up and just proved himself to be the supplier of your need. And Elisha said, it's going to be so abundant that it'll just be no price hardly whatsoever. And one of the politicians that was standing near Elisha said, If God opened the windows of heaven, it would not happen. They couldn't. Elisha said, well, here's my word to you. It will happen. You will see it, but you won't eat it. And when it happened, this lord, this politician was trampled to death in the array of things. And so therefore, do you understand what I'm saying? And so they were just in there, but they were hemmed in. They were not enjoying. They were in destitution. I want to tell you something tonight. There's three elements that we're going to deal with. First of all, there is the element of the Samaritans. There is the element of four leprous men. And there was the element of the army's camp. Hear me tonight. It is an indictment. It is a shame. It is wrong when the enemy's camp has got what God don't have. I mean, it doesn't make sense. Here's a God that says he's El Shaddai, Jehovah. Here's a God that has not boasted but proclaimed, you can depend upon me for this, that, and the other. And now, in reality, there is the city of Samaria besieged, locked in, and dying. Look over the wall. Look over the wall. Down the road, there's the army's camp. And they're drinking lemonade, having steak or what. They're just, they got plenty. Something don't make sense in that formula, does it? Something's wrong in that formula. When the world, here's what grieves me. When people in our own church are suffering financial dilemma, suffering mental, physical, emotional dilemma, and the world is just on their way to whatever. When there's more time given to the ball games on Sunday afternoon than there is on the house of God. Something don't make sense when the church meets together and there's no joy in the camp. When the church meets together and there's no power. Something is gone awry. When you look out at the world and you see them living the abundant life and the church living the scarce life. Do I make any sense to anybody? Something, it just don't add up to me. And so these four leprous men, they're sitting there, and they're saying, well, we know one thing, we can't go into Samaria because, number one, we're not wanted. Why aren't you wanted? Because we're lepers. It's off limits. I don't care how much food they got in there. I don't care how much provision they got in there. We can't go in because we're lepers. We're not welcome. We're not accepted. We're not. It's off limits. They knew there was nothing there anyhow. But let me tell you something right now, ladies and gentlemen. Hallelujah. Though they were off limits, God was going to use it. It's a shame and a disgrace when the church says to people, you're not welcome. When the church says to people, you don't dress the way we dress. You don't look the way we look. You don't act the way we like. Where's all, oh Lord help me. Am I talking to anybody? When we put such a barrier up, I believe in screening people. I believe in using logic and common sense. But there's four lepers sitting at the gate. They don't have anything. Samaria don't have anything. So they're in the same boat. The only crowd there that had anything was the enemy. And the lepers said, we don't have a prayer in Samaria. We're not wanted. We're not welcome. How many people are riding the highway tonight and wondering, I wonder if I could go to that church. Maybe they've got rings in their lips. You know what I'm talking about. Maybe they got all kind of grotesque stuff. Maybe they look like a zebra that come out of the jungle with all kind of paint, you know, just crazy stuff. I don't know what makes people do some of the dumb things they do. They have to live with it all their life. It's like they're trying to make a statement. And we recall, hello, we back, oh, in our mind we say, don't come too close. You come around here, we might have some of our, oh, y'all making me preach hard now. You come around here, that's going to make some of our people get their, whatever. We'll be, So therefore, we send an unspoken message to the four lepers. We wish you well, but don't come in here. We just pray that God would bless you and supply your needs and help you. But I heard the Lord say, if you say, send them off, be blessed and be warm and be full and be happy, and you don't do anything about it, you're an infidel. See, we're so afraid that when people start coming to church, and they're going to come, there's lepers around here. They're going to come. Make you no mistake about it. And we just will get ourselves ready for it. Not to be whipping them, not to be beating them, but they're going to come. And the reason they're going to come is because they've evaluated things and they've tested the water and they know that they can't go to the enemy's camp because they'll be killed. And they know they're not welcome in the church camp, and so they're out there in between land. But let me tell you something. One of those lepers said, whoa, this is enough. We're dying. We're not going to sit here and fade away. Let's do something better. And they rose up. It was late in the afternoon, twilight, the changeover. And they rose up and said, well, what are you going to do? If we go in there, there's nothing. If we go to the enemy's camp, they didn't know. Oh, dear God, help me. They didn't know that God was working. They didn't know that when they rose up, God rose up. They didn't know that God had provisions, and God was not going to provide for them out of his own people. God was going to use an unlikely source to meet their need. They rose up and they said, we can't go in the city. There's nothing there. So what do we do? Well, let's go to them. If we die, we die, but we will not die sitting here. That's the point I'm trying to get at. You may have cancer. You may have whatever you've got. All kinds of things happen to good people. But you do not sit down and look in the mirror and say, it's over. I'm waiting for the funeral cadence. I'm going to tell you right now, when they come get me, I'm going to be fighting to the last breath. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. Am I talking to you? Oh, somebody praise God. I feel the Holy Ghost. Why sit we here until we die? Why dwindle away like this? Let's take some initiative. We don't know what God. If they would have sit there, they would have died. If they would have sit there, God was not sending an angel to them and giving them a plate lunch. See, God expects something from us. He expects us to use the brain that he gave us to initiate some action. They stood up. They said, why sit we here if we go to the camp, if we go to the military camp, if we go to the city? We can't win, but we can't lose. We can't win if we don't go, and we can't win if we do stay. So they rose up at twilight, the changeover. There comes a point when you got to believe that there's a change. Somebody's there tonight. Somebody's tired of peddling. Somebody's tired of just going around in a circle. I feel it in my bones. It's twilight for somebody. It might be twilight for our church. That don't mean negative. That don't mean negative. That might be just a phase of from one victory to another victory, from one ladder to another ladder. God does not, if we're walking in truth, God does not demote, God promotes. If we're walking in truth, God elevates. Amen? Hallelujah to God. They don't know. They just know, these four leprous men just know that down yonder in that camp there's food, there's water, there's supplies, There's treasures. There's all that we need. It's in that enemy's camp. I'm going to tell you right now, the enemy's got what we need in the souls of men. Hallelujah. So when the devil possesses, do you understand that? When the devil is able to flaunt himself in front of the church and say, look at y'all. You're just holding on. You talk about your trials and your tribulations. You talk about the valleys that you're going through and the mountain peaks that you might climb. You're talking about the failures that you've had in your life. You just talk yourself into a hole. You just talk yourself into a pit. And God says, why don't you just rise up? Hello, church. Why don't you just rise up and dismiss all that negative stuff? Just shut up on all that stuff that is deteriorating and debilitating. Amen? Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable unto thee, O God, my strength and my redeemer. Oh, by your words you shall be condemned, and by your words you shall be justified. Amen? The words of a righteous man. We need to talk. It's not just a matter of man over manner, but we need to talk proper. And one of these leprous men I admire him. He said, look, enough is enough. We've sit here and we've watched ourselves be debilitated. We've sit here, we've gained nothing. And what do we have to lose if we get up? If they kill us, they kill us. Hallelujah. Somebody say amen. There comes to a point where sitting is not right. There comes to a point where passivity is wrong. There comes to a point where faith has got to be activated, where faith has got to be said, I don't know how it's going to work out. I mean, that Lord on Elisha's side, well, if you open the windows of heaven up, it wouldn't happen. And Elisha was quick to put him in his place. It will happen, but you won't partake of it. The only people that partake of the blessings of God are the people that get involved. Amen? I was thinking about Brother Hazlett during the camp meeting. And you heard me mention this about the evangelist for 27 years with this addiction problem. And I was thinking the wonders of God is he can take one that's 27 years in addiction and save him and deliver him. He can take one that got saved at 7 years old and deliver him and keep him and sustain him. God is God. God is God. Amen. Hallelujah. Am I talking to anybody tonight? They sit there, and our problem may master us in many ways. It may struggle me. It may blindside me. But I can tell you one thing. It will never defeat me without a fight. Hallelujah. Am I talking to you? When you give up, you're going to give up. And there are people in whatever sphere of life that have given up. They're tired of fighting. Whether they're middle-aged or older, senior, whatever, they're just tired of fighting. I think that there ought to be a fight in us until the last breath. Till the last breath. I've seen the case where people stood by their loved one. I've been involved in one or two of these situations. And the loved one was in the dying throes, hours left. And some of the family members said, I mean, just boldly and bravely said, Dad, it's all right. Turn it loose and go. And within 35 seconds, death came. It's like they're fighting until somebody gives them the release. These four leprous men, they said, why sit we here till we die? If we go in the city, there's nothing. If we go in the army camp, there's nothing. Am I talking to you? Why sit we here in poverty when God said, my God shall supply all of your needs? Why sit we here in sickness and affliction when my God says, I am the Lord God that healeth thee? Why we sit here in all kinds of situations, in gloom, when the joy of the Lord is our strength? Why sit we here? These four leprous men, they did not see. They didn't have a vision of all this. They just knew that they could not win by being still. Hallelujah. Somebody praise him. When the church... That's element number one. It's a tragic picture. The city of Samaria. It presents the church in this carnal, uncommitted, undedicated way. It's tragic because something had occurred and they're surrounded by the Syrians and they're shut down and there's no hope and there's starvation. God help the church when we try to bring ourselves out of the hole by bringing entertainment in. When we try to bring ourselves out of the hole by smart programs. Do you remember, oh Lord help, do you remember, I know you do, do you remember King Saul? He was anointed by Samuel. He had the Holy Ghost upon him. It was the real deal. And he went out and faced armies. And Jabesh Gilead, he said, tomorrow about this time you'll have help. So he did all these great things. But there come a time when he began to depend upon the armor. And I call that the anointed man versus the non-anointed. David is in the field learning how to tend sheep, learning how to use a sling, learning how to be in isolation. Goliath comes, and King Saul, here's what fascinates me. There's the army of the Hebrews. Every day they get ready. For 40 days they shine their armor up, get their uniform on, and go out and they rattle their swords a little bit. We're ready to fight. And Goliath stands on the other side of the valley just laughing at them. Tomorrow morning they come out, put their armor on, go do the same routine. And Saul is there leading them. He's their leader. But he's the ex-anointed leader. Hello, church. And David comes along. You know the story very well. David comes along and said, what's the deal? They told David the situation. David said, I will face him. The anointed versus the, oh, come on, are you hearing what I'm saying? There was a time when the Pentecostal church did not need to have glamour and stuff. There was a time when the Pentecostal church was anointed to the point that the Spirit of God pulsated over them. We would read the history of the church where in Galveston, Texas, there was a tent. And fire department was called to the tent because they said it was on fire, flames over it. And when they got there, there was no fire. What it was the Holy Ghost just burning, but it wasn't burning. David said, I will handle this giant. I will take care of him. Well, Saul said, you need what I've got. You need my armor. You need to be like us. That's why these young people, I look at them, I say, you let God just use you. You let God just burn in your heart. Saul said, if you're going to face the enemy, let me tell you how we've learned how to do it. We've learned a three-step program. We do this, that, and other. Don't do that. David put the mess on. He's going to try it Saul's way, and it doesn't work. And David says, I've not tried this. He throws it off. That's where we're at right now. We're throwing off the junk. Hello? Am I talking to anybody? With all the stuff, all the ballerina stuff that has been pushed down our throat, all the new shindigs, whatever, the new method of worshiping. I don't need a new method of worshiping. I mean, you know, we go to church and we go to camp meeting. Oh, Lord, I better be careful. And 45 minutes of the camp meeting service is taken up by cheerleaders. Raise your hand. Touch your neighbor. Look at your neighbor and smile. And it's just. If the anointing of the Holy Ghost is upon the people, you don't need cheerleaders, because you will enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. You will bless his holy name. His praises shall continually be in thy mouth. The glory of the Lord will be upon you. Nobody's going to have to pull you out of a hole. Nobody, on your way to church, you're going to be anticipating. What is God going to do tonight? If you lose that expectancy, you've lost a great dimension. You say, well, we don't shout like we used to. Let me ask you something, mister. Do you shout like you used to? Don't talk about me. Don't talk about your neighbor. Don't talk about the people across the aisle. Ask yourself, do I worship God the way I used to worship God? Do I praise God the way I used to praise God? Or am I sitting there sucking my thumb saying they don't do it? It's not a I and they. It's a us. Some days, I got enough common sense to know that some days you're going to feel more like shouting than you do other days. But don't sit there until you die. Don't sit there. If you have to, well, somebody said, well, if it's the Holy Ghost, I'll worship. You know better than that. First the natural, then the spiritual. Don't wait. If you're waiting for goosebumps, you're probably never going to shout. But when you get to shouting and praising God, it's not pretending to raise your hand up. It's not putting on a show to clap your hands unto God. It's not wrong for you to think about what God has done for you and get excited. I think it's wrong to think about what God's done for you and not to get excited. So I pray. I say, Lord, you know, if people say we're not, you know, I hear it almost not weekly, but regularly, we just don't worship the way we used to. And I'm looking at the person that's talking to me and said, yeah, I've noticed you sure don't. Hello? Somebody said, we need freedom. I'm free. You want to make an old man happy? You let an old man see young men get happy and young converts get happy. I can't manifest myself because I just sit up here breaking my neck looking, glory to God. Look, there's John, there's Jim, there's Bill. And Brother John gets up here with that 12-string guitar and he plays all 12 of them at one time. And I bless the Lord. I bless the Lord. And then Allery gets out. I don't know what instrument Trey's going to bring, but he'll bring one. I don't have but these, but I use them. Hello? I don't do it in rhythm all the time. Sometimes you're going on this one and I'm going on that one. But what I'm trying to say is I'm not going to march around this thing and just be dead. I'll die at some point if Jesus tarries. But when I die, you drag my body up in front of a church somewhere. Get some people on the music instruments. Get some singers that can halfway sing. Don't worry about Kentucky Fried Chicken and pineapple cake and lemon pie. That's all. I won't eat them. And I don't want you to be eating it in front of me. Insult me that way when I can't taste it. No, don't mess up. Just bring some musicians and some singers in there, and let's have a Holy Ghost time. Yeah. Amen. They sing a song and say, march around the throne one time for me. Hallelujah. These four leprous men, and see, they were the key, and I'm bringing this to a shutdown. They were the key. Do you understand what I'm saying? The key to the provisions for Samaria lay in the hand of four leprous men that were not allowed to even come in the city. Get that point. Get that in your mind. The key to the Alligood Church of God revival in the days ahead will be to those lepers out there that have not come into our doors. They don't know whether they're welcome or not. They look like freaks, many of them. They're not conventional looking. I'm just preaching the truth of my heart. I know this is going to take place. And they're out there, they're wondering, I wonder if we would be welcome there. I want to put a neon light out there and say, yes, you are welcome. I think the first Christian church uptown has got a beautiful billboard out on 17, and I'm sure they got it in other places in town, and it shows a hands raised up, and all color of hands. And it said, really, really, anybody sitting paid any attention to that? Yeah, really, all are welcome. That says so much. But do you hear the key to the Samaritan breaking of the famine was laying in the hands of four? It wasn't in the hands of the politicians. It wasn't in the hands of the priests and the Levites. It was not in the hands of the people that knew everything. It was in the hands of four men that could not go to the enemy's camp and they could not go to the Samaritan camp. And they said, we are not going to sit here and die. We're going to get up. If we die, we die, but we're not going to die sitting here, and they had to come pick us up. They see us every morning that no problem, but we're going in. We're going to check some. There comes a time you got to be bold. Amen. When you're praying with people to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you need to know enough about the baptism of the Holy Ghost to give them instructions. I mean, not just, you know, hold on. I'm talking about tell them if they're a candidate for the Holy Ghost that it is a gift from God. Amen. I lost you. It is the gift of God is eternal life, but the gift of the Holy Ghost is God's gift to you. Stand with me. I'm a quit. Have I said anything to anybody tonight? The musicians, the singers are going to come. Why sit here? I refuse to die. Somebody needs to say, even in your mind, you're going through, you got your back against the wall, you're going through some mess, you're going through some aggravations, and it's taking the oxygen out of you. You need to make up your mind tonight. I refuse to go on like this. I refuse to go on like this. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. You've heard me tell this story plenty of times. In Smithfield, it was destitute. There were a couple of years there that there's no words to describe the destitution. But we survived. But there come that one day that broke the camel's back. I got in my car and I drove to a factory in Selma. I knew the human relation man, just slightly knew him a little bit. I knew if there was a day job Monday through Friday in that plant that he could place me, he would place me. I had been the four leprous men. The boat was sinking. Things were bad, and I had a 63 Falcon. I pulled in that parking lot. I told Darlene, I said, I mean, I was at the end of I rose up. Do you understand that's where I'm trying to get at? I rose up. I cut the motor off in that car, got ready to pull the door handle to open it. 8 o'clock, because I knew that's when the man would be coming. I wanted to meet him at the office door. I'll answer to God for what I'm getting ready to say. I could not open the door of that car. I could not. The door would not open. It was not a fluke. It would not. So I said, well, there's something wrong with that door. I'll slide over here and open the other door would not open. I was in that car and couldn't get out. I heard in my mind, in my spirit, I heard the Lord say, I called you out of industry and into the ministry, and don't go back into what I've called you out of. Nothing wrong with people preaching and by vocational. Nothing wrong with that. But I had to deal with my own self. I cranked the car up and went back to the parsonage. My whole life was different. My whole life was changed. I mean, literally changed. In that 35 minutes, when I walked in the house, Darlene assumed that I had got the job and she was happy. Nothing had changed externally. But I sit there and I said, I'm not going to die in this condition. If there's a job, I'll get it. God is my witness. I didn't get the job. I didn't get a chance to talk to the man about it. But I come back home knowing that God was in control. And the next week, the break came. Tithes began to come in. Attendance began to come. Victory began to come. I could have sit there and said, why sit we here until we? I could have called relatives and said, can you spare some money? But I said, if God don't know where I'm at, I don't need to be doing this work. They're going to sing a song of their choice. Have y'all understood what I'm trying to do? Let me just tell you.